Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is June 27th, 2015, and I'm so glad you joined us at NoBetterWay.net, and we're on BlogTalkRadio.com. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois, and my prayer tonight is that you'll be blessed by the show. Tonight's title is No Compromise in the Lord's Church. Tonight's Bible reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I have overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. So, Lord, just like the church in Laodicea, we too can become lukewarm. So, as John wrote the book of Revelation, and in this chapter 3, Jesus was talking to the church of Laodicea. We too, Church of America, many have grown lukewarm, and the Lord wants to spit us out. We have lost our passion for the Lord. We've compromised the Word of God. We've fallen from the ways of the Lord and followed the ways of man. And we go to church on Sundays, and the other 6 days, we just live our lives according to the ways of man, rather than having a passion and a love for God and wanting to serve Him with all your heart. And I thank you, Lord, for your holy word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. And so this reading tonight from the book of Revelation, like I said, it was the Lord talking to the church of Laodicea, which had lost its fire for the Lord, lost its passion. It had become lukewarm. And I say, folks, we too at times, we will become lukewarm for the Lord. And if we become lukewarm in our passion for Jesus and His church, we are in danger of compromising our faith. That's the word today, compromise. But there shall be no compromise in the church of the Lord. And if we look at our faith in Jesus as a relationship, which I hope you would do, then we need to realize that there is no room for compromise. If we read in the book of Revelation, the church of Jesus Christ is described as Jesus as the groom, right? He's the bridegroom, and the church and its saints as his bride. Like any intimate relationship, it's so important that we not compromise our relationship with Jesus. Every time we fail to obey him and we go against his will, we compromise our relationship. Jesus said, when we obey his commandments, we show our love for him. Amen? And sometimes, like the church of Laodicea, you can become content with your riches and become lukewarm in your passion for the Lord. So folks, just like Romans 3:23 says, We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as a church, and most importantly as individuals, we must continue to repent and never take God's mercy and grace for granted. Always give thanks for that. We have a loving, merciful God that continues to shower us with his unending grace. But always, like David from the Old Testament, I pray that we can have a passion to serve the Lord with the Holy Spirit empowering us. And folks, I truly believe that we're heading into the last days. You know, you look at the news, you know, the wars, the rumors of wars, the increase thousandfold in earthquakes in diverse places, just like the Bible says, the end times, that earthquakes will increase in diverse places, places that never had earthquakes before, and just the wickedness coming into the world right now. If you get on the internet, you can look how science has gone haywire, but yet going haywire, it also has an agenda, and that agenda is a thing called transhumanism. So the world is heading where they've turned their backs on gods. They don't worship God. They worship other gods, and they seek immortality. They seek eternity without God. So we're heading into the last days, Lord. Folks, these are wicked days. And my prayer is that you would lean and love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and might. And I believe the Lord is calling you. I pray that you feel the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, touching you, that he's calling you to follow him and serve him in these last days. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So when Jesus, when we answer his call, when we answer his call to follow him and serve him, we are to follow Jesus' ways, not the world's ways. We are to follow his truth, not the truths of the world or what they say is the truth. And we are to follow his life, not the life of the world that they have to offer, but his life. Didn't Jesus say, I've come to give you life, to give you life more abundantly? And that life is a life of no compromise, no compromise with the world, no compromise saying that certain ways of God are ancient and aren't relevant anymore. They are relevant. Anything in the Word of God, anything in God's Holy Bible is relevant. And so I say we can't go along with the world and go along with the church that compromises God's Word, God's truth, God's abundant life. So folks, if you belong to a compromising church, you might have a church that, you know, says abortion is okay in certain circumstances. They may say that homosexual is okay, that people are born that way. They might say that adultery is okay. I mean, all these are sins. The Bible points it out. And so I say, if you belong to a church like that, it's time to find a Bible-believing church that doesn't say it's okay, that you need to follow him, and that that we need to repent of our sins, right? We need to find a Bible-believing church that serves and follows the Lord and believes all of God's word completely. Again, remember, folks, again I say, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, and we are all sinners. We need to repent. We need to repent daily, and we need to follow Jesus without compromise. What does compromise mean? I mean, I've used that word much this today. What does the word compromise, what does it mean? It means to make concessions. It means to give in a way. Like you hear politics compromising on, you know, what each two groups of politicians, Republicans, Democrats, they compromise on a position, what they believe in, right? Here's a definition from the Webster's Dictionary. A settlement of differences by mutual concession and adjustments of conflicting claims, principles, by yielding a part of each. So you may be able to compromise on certain things, the time of worship. You may be able to compromise on certain small things. But when it comes to the basic cross, you know, the meaning of the cross, salvation, and everything, you know, that Jesus is the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. All these basic components, you know, and when the Bible says sin is sin, to believe and not compromise in that. So, Lord, my prayer today is that the folks realize that they need to dig in God's word, right? To pray, to repent, and to turn and follow Him, and that we shouldn't have a compromising a heart that makes concessions. Every word in the Bible is true, right? And that we need to follow God's word. Dot every I and cross every T. Amen. So folks, I'm going to read Revelation 3, verse 20 again. It reads, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Amen. So when Jesus walks into your open heart, when you open that door, do you invite him in for dinner and after dinner he leaves? Or do you enjoy his fellowship at dinner and you ask him to stay forever? Say, "Lord, I need you. I want you. And will you please stay forever?" So that's the question tonight. Okay, folks, let's take a break. And when I get back, we'll take some calls and maybe a few texts. All right, folks, I'm back. Song by Fernando Ortega. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. And Fernando is realizing that, you know, this whole world is just going to pass, right? Heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall never pass. And he's realized that, you know, his relationship with Jesus is more, with more than anything this world has to offer. Even Paul once said, he says, all this world and everything we have and everything we have to offer, you know, our works, like filthy rags compared to Jesus Christ and what he has to offer us, eternal relationship with him, right? Forever to be with him. I mean, that's an awesome thought. Amen. Okay, I'll give out that number, 347-989-0095. Tonight's title of our show, No Compromise in the Lord's Church. We're living in an age of much compromise, and that compromise has crept into our churches. So many churches have discarded, they've torn out pages of their Bible, and they seem to be seeker-friendly in a way that they're going to invite certain types of people, and it's not a church that preaches repentance, but preaches acceptance. And you know what? The first word Jesus said when he started his ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So that is the first word, repent, and that has to be on our heart daily. Every day we need to repent, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've said that verse many times tonight, but it needs to be relevant in our lives. Amen. Okay, I did get a text. I've got a text, and this text is from Casey from Chicago. He sent me one last week, so he's sending me another one here. And question is, what is your take on the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24? What does Jesus mean when he says, it will be like the days of Noah when he returns? Well, my understanding, the days of Noah, things were pretty wicked. I think the world was very worldly, and there wasn't many godly people in the world at that time. My understanding was Noah, right, and his family, there were eight, they were the only ones that were going to be saved in the end times. I mean, we can discuss further about Noah and his family and corruption and beyond the physical part of it. I mean, you know, but in those days, the world had grown very cold toward God, and it was very corrupt, and God had become very disgusted with the world, and he was going to destroy it. And so Jesus says, just like the days of Noah will be the time when I return. And just like the days of Noah, you know, people will be living and they'll be, you know, working in the field. People will still be getting married. Things will still be going on in the world. And he says also that when he does return, he will come unannounced, right? He will come quickly. And so I was reading a little bit in Matthew, Casey, and it says, I'll just read a little bit of it, verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time or night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So he is saying to stay faithful, right? Not say, okay, he'll return at such and such. In the meantime, you know, I can slack off. No, be diligent. Be diligent in preaching the gospel, sharing the word, sharing your faith, right? Day in and day out. You don't know when the Lord will return, his exact time. You know, we can look and read the word and figure out, you know, I know I read the gospels, and it does say that Jesus says he will not return until the temple is defiled, you know, by the Antichrist, right? So, you know, we know certain things about that. You know, we have certain signs that we, you know, before Christ's return. But, you know, I think what Jesus is telling us, it'll be wicked then, just like it was in the days of Noah. And he's also saying that we need to continue to share the gospel and live faithfully. Amen. Okay, Case, that's the best I can do on that question. Hope I helped you. Thank you for the text. Anyone else that would like to text in a question or has a prayer request? I've got the number on the board, 630-674-4960. And also, if anyone wants to call in, I'd love to get a call. Maybe they belong to a wonderful Bible-believing church that's doing, you know, great works. Living by the word, and they've got some, you know, wonderful stories to share. That number again is 347-989-0095. We're all friends. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd love to have you call. Maybe you just want to call in and share a blessing, something that, you know, that's happened in your life, you know, and you want to share with the folks. I'd love to hear from you. Love to have you call in. You know, before I said that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. You know, it's sharp, it cuts. And God has intended that. Right? Once your heart is open, when the Holy Spirit opens your heart, you know, you'll read God's Word. And there are times, just like when I read the reading tonight, that sometimes, you know, you know, we are the children of God, we need to be disciplined. So when we read God's word, it will convict us. We need to be convicted. We're doing something wrong, right? We're not being obedient to God's word and his ways. So sometimes that word of God needs to cut. We need to bleed. I'm not saying we need to, you know, bleed, you know, profusely, but it's a term that says that the word is sharp, you know, that the word is meant to touch our hearts, to convict us. And as followers, we all need that. We all need to be disciplined. And when we are, our hearts are convicted, we need to repent and realize, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I've sinned. I've done this wrong. Forgive me, Lord, and I want to turn from that and follow you. Amen. So again, the word is compromise, and there's much compromise in many churches today. They've changed their whole mission, the purpose of their church has not been to gather people together so they can hear the convicting word of God and to cause men to repent and turn from their wicked ways. Instead, what is it? I will read from, this is from the book of Timothy, right? Written by Paul. This is the second book of Timothy, starting with chapter 4, verse 3. And we're in this time. I truly believe we are in this time today. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. They want to be told, you know, that the way they're living is okay, that if you become a Christian, prosperity will come to you, riches, good health, right? Well, that's not true. Okay, you will enjoy blessings on this earth whether you are a Christian or you're not. But isn't it better to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and enjoy the blessings that are bestowed upon you in this world and this life you live, with also enjoying a relationship with the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, having a relationship, a love relationship, rather than to be a non-believer and just following the ways of the world, yet you are enjoying the blessings whether you love the Lord or not. There are blessings in this world that you are still enjoying. And so then what happens if you don't come to faith, if you ignore the plea from the Lord, you know, from the Holy Spirit that is asking you, you know, come to Jesus. If you ignore that plea, one day you'll have to stand before the Lord, and your reward will be the pleasures of this world, and the eternity that you spend will not be with the Lord, but you're spending eternity in hell, absence from the Lord. And my prayer today is that you will come to Jesus, come to faith. Let tonight be your night of salvation, and let tonight be the day that you turn from your sinful ways. We're all sinners. I'm not saying one person, but all. We're all sinners. You turn from your sinful way and follow Him, and not only enjoy the blessings of this world, but also enjoy an eternity with the Lord. And like my son Dave always says, there's no regrets in heaven. Amen. And I've got a call. I'll take that call right now. Hello there. Thank you for calling NoBetterWay.net.
Hello. How's it going tonight?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Got a good start to the show. My title of the show, I don't know if you saw, Dave, I sent you a message. The title is No Compromise in the Lord's Church. And we're living in an age with much compromise, and there are churches that have compromised the Word of God. So that's my discussion today, Dave. So,
yeah, I think the key for everyone is just to see what God says and live according to it, and lead the church according to God's word, and to, you know, just live your life as God calls you to. And I think sometimes churches get more concerned about trying to get more people through the doors or whatever, so they put on a juggling act or whatever.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the preaching of the word of God. And because really it's the word of God that's going to transform people and save them. It's not going to be anything people do, any methods of leading or anything like that. It's the powers in the Word of God, and we're just messengers to share it. So we as churches need to proclaim God's Word boldly and lovingly, and then we as believers need to obey Jesus out of our love for Him. Not as a duty. Well, it is our duty, but not as just a rule to follow. But we love Him and know He knows best for us. So we thankfully live for Him and obey Him.
Yeah. What did Jesus say? He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Right?
Mm-hmm. And like, it's just natural.
Yeah. Naturally, because you love Him, you want to obey Him. And I was reading before in Revelation chapter 3, Dave, and it says there how that we need to be disciplined sometimes, and as a daughter or son of God, we do need to be disciplined. Sometimes we get out of line, and he'll nudge us back, you know. And part of it is, like you said, reading God's word and let God's word, you know, convict our hearts and make us realize that, yeah, you know, we're wrong. We need to repent and turn and follow His ways. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, if I start going on some scrambled trail where it's like, I really enjoy this sin, I'm just gonna do it. It'll be fine. You know, Jesus won't mind. He'll love me anyway. Which is true, He'll love me anyways, but God doesn't want me to compromise my lifestyle and wants me to follow Him with every step that I take. So if I go down a trail of sinning over and over again, He's gonna draw me back to Himself, you know, in various ways. And like you said, if you raise a kid and let them do whatever they want, they're going to turn out scrambled. So God just says, hey, you guys go out there and do whatever you want, and I'll just love you. Well, that kid's going to grow up not really living for Him.
Yeah, and there's also consequences. I mean, you've seen church leaders get into, extra affairs as a leader of the church, and you know what a consequence that is, where it not destroys but damages greatly a church, or if you as a person you're in a relationship and sometimes or you may compromise that relationship and you hurt that relationship, you'll be forgiven by God, but there's consequences. There's always some type of consequence. Or when we sin, when we don't walk with the Lord, and so we suffer.
Yeah, every day, you got to remember, remind yourself and your heart who you're living for and what you're living for. If that turns out to be more and more me, what I want, then I'm more likely to sin and hurt others because I'm putting my, selfish desires over what God wants me to do for Him and what He wants me to do for other people. So, every day it's a decision. How are we going to live? Are we just going to do what we want and then justify it by saying, God's not going to care that much. How are we going to do what He says and how to love Him and love others?
Isn't there a... I'm trying to remember where that verse is, Dave, where it says that the Lord always gives you an escape. He always has a way for you to get out of a sin. If you're like you're in a situation, He'll always offer like that escape plan, So no matter what, He's always going to give you like a conviction from the Holy Spirit, or He's going to give you something, and it's up to us to say sometimes just yes or no, but He does give us that opportunity. And I know there's a verse like that.
Yeah, I think it's in Corinthians, but I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly. But you're right, there is a passage like that where it basically says you're not a slave to sin anymore. So, you might be tempted. You might have certain addictions that you have to fight. But that makes it clear there that you're not a slave to sin. You can't say, I couldn't help myself. I had to do this. Or I had to do that. I got a problem. I can't help it. That's, I know there's situations where there are some things that, people get addicted and people have issues they have to deal with. But, not a slave to sin anymore in the sense that God is going to help us to, move towards Him and move away from the sin.
You remember the movie, Dave, God Is Not Dead? I was just thinking about that one scene where the one son, his mother was such a godly woman, sweet woman, and and his sister was, you know, she was a follower of Jesus, but he was a follower of the world and materialism, and he just wanted to be some big shot in the world, and you know, and just be rich and famous. And because of his sister's pleading, he went to visit his mom. His mom had Alzheimer's, and that was that one moment in the movie where she just blurted out these like a message from God, where she said, sometimes you know, the devil will just kind of let you just keep on keeping on. You know, that door from the cage will be open. You can leave anytime, but eventually that door will be slammed shut. And he's looking at his mom and wondering, you know, she's got Alzheimer's. How could she have said something so profound? You know, and you never knew what the son would do at the end of the movie, but I was always hoping that those words made an impact on him. And you know, I'm thinking that there's people in our lives that are sent to say something of those magnitude, you know, when we're not a follower. But I just thought that was just like a great moment in that movie.
And that's what, you know, that's what the church should be. Church should be a place where people could hear the God's truth about God's love, and you know, and people are just, you know, putting on a show, playing patty cake and sharing the nice fluffy messages. And like you said, don't talk about sin, don't talk about the need to repent, because that's not going to be happy-go-lucky messages. But you know, we're not in the business of entertaining. If Jesus wanted to just hang out with crowds, he could just sit on the mountain and did miracles all the time. He did many of those to show us the signs of his glory. But, you know, he had disciples. There was the crowd, but then there were the disciples and those that choose to follow him. And a lot of the crowds walked away because his teachings were too hard. And, you know, people don't like to hear the, you know,
the hard stuff.
Yeah, I got this sin, you got that sin, and you know, we don't want to hear that, but we need to hear it. You know, gotta realize there's a problem before you realize how great the good news is. So I think people want to cut out the problem, and then the good news doesn't make sense to them.
Yeah.
And that's why they think they can go to heaven on their own.
Yeah, and their own goodness. Yeah, I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so many times you'll hear people saying, it's happened to me, Dave, where I'll go to church and the pastor, he gives a great sermon. I mean, so inspired. And you feel like he's talking right to you, like you're talking to me, because he's talking about my sin or my problem. And it's like a Holy Spirit thing. And I'm sure it's happened to you too, Dave, where it's like, man, he's talking right to me. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah. When I gave my life to the Lord, I heard about 12 messages in a row like that.
Wow. Yeah. That's a
it was
thing.
Like 10, 12 times I went to this class, and every time they're talking, I feel like they're talking directly to me. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? This is crazy. So I was grateful for that. It was, you know, convicting too, right? Because God, you know, God's pointing out your sins to you in the process. And so it's like it feels convicting, but good in a way, you know. It's, you know, because God's shown you that he knows you. He knows your heart. He cares about it. He still, even though you got all these scrambled issues, God still loves you. But he doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want us to sit in our sins. He wants to free us from them and free us forever through Jesus. Faith in Jesus, he died for us and rose again to be free from your sins forever. So to have God, you know, discipline us, to show us our sin, and to have a church that doesn't give up on biblical convictions and just preaches the truth, then I'm able to hear about my sins and come to faith in Jesus. You know, someone just pat me on the back all the time. You know, the people in the world don't need that. Everyone's always trying to stroke each other's egos and tell each other how great they are. That's not really what people need, because that's not the truth of it. That person's a sinner. Unless their name is Jesus Christ, they were born on this earth and they're a sinner, and they need Jesus. It doesn't matter how great a person they are. Doesn't matter how scrambled their life is at the time. They need to hear the words of Jesus when, like you said, his ministry starts by saying, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he's there to share good news. But you got to turn away from the life of rebellion against God and turn to following him. And a good church doesn't hide from saying that. And it helps people. A scrambled church that just wants to entertain people, you know, maybe some people could be blessed by the people in that church that are still brave and bold with God's word. But it just becomes harder when everyone's avoiding talking about sin and only sharing certain parts of the Bible. God wants us to share the whole counsel of his word, not just bits and pieces that we like to hear. Got to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, and Dave, there's so many people that need to be free, right? I mean, what does it say? We're a slave to sin. And so if we don't speak the whole message, the whole truth, right, we're holding back people that are able to be freed. How many people are struggling with certain sins in the church, and they need to hear the whole message, you know, and not like where a pastor stays away from certain subjects because he doesn't want to rock the boat. He needs to rock that boat. Sometimes he may need to flip that boat over. I mean that's, yeah, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and it's not really helping people, because I mean, if people haven't given their life to Christ, truly haven't given their life to Christ, they're not sitting comfortable in those seats, no matter how fluffy you try to make it. And you're just going to frustrate people, you know. If you only share half the truth with them and no one's willing to challenge them, people are looking to have people care enough about them to tell them, you know, this isn't right what you're doing, or, you know, you really need to give your life to Jesus, you know, all areas of your life. You know, people might be, a lot of people might push away from that, but there are a lot of people that are looking for people that are willing to disciple them, that are willing to build into their life and just tell them the hard truths. So that's what, go out there into the world, and if you're a Christian, and live according to your convictions, and don't compromise on your faith, and love people, and share the truth of God with people, and help them to also do that. And that's really what we're doing, just trying to walk together and follow Jesus. And you can't do it if you take out half of Jesus' message.
When the one word you just mentioned, Dave, where you said telling the hard truths. And I heard a pastor one time, a pastor said that the people that love you the most tell you the truth. Oh, you know, I mean, sometimes like you just said, the hard truths. So sometimes, you know, we need to hear the hard truths. And
it's like
person that cares about you the most, you know, that man of God or that woman of God that loves you the most will tell you in a compassionate, soft way, but still give you that hard truth that you need to hear.
Well, in a relationship, the more, you know, you spend more time together, a lot of times that it can draw people apart, but most of the time it's going to draw people closer together, and you get to know each other more, and you see each other's sins more, and, you know, you might get on each other's nerves sometimes, but at the same time, your sins and flaws are being pointed out by that other person, you know, and vice versa, and you can use that as an opportunity to grow closer to Jesus by addressing and praying about, you know, areas of weakness and stuff.
For sure. My prayer tonight, Dave, is that, you know, everyone, that they have a open heart to God's truth, and a heart that doesn't want to compromise his word, that, you know, wants to know all his word, the whole, you know, word of God, the whole Bible, you know, wants to follow his ways. And sometimes it might not be easy, but, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen.
Amen. All right, I'll let you go. I know you only got a few minutes left here.
Okay, and Dave, I'm always grateful when you call. You bless my show. You're my co-host. So thank you so much,
glad,
Dave.
Glad to talk to you, and have a good rest of your night.
Okay, thank you, Dave. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was my son Dave called in talking tonight's title, No Compromise in the Large Church. And he was just, you know, said some strong words, you know, how it's so important that we, you know, that the church we belong to, you know, professes the whole Bible, the whole Word of God, you know, doesn't, you know, candy coat anything, doesn't dance around certain sins, you know, as followers of Jesus. You know, we need to follow his way, his word, his truth, and his life which is a more abundant life. And so the main thing is, you know, that as Christians, we don't have a heart to compromise. We have a heart that wants to comply. We want a heart that wants to be obedient to God's word. Like Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, right? And one of those commandments is to share the gospel, right? And he calls us all to baptize those in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? And to make disciples of men and women. So that's a command by our Lord. And so if we love him, we'll obey his commands. So we need to obey that command also, which is a big one. Amen? Well, we're kind of winding down our show. I've got a few minutes if someone would like to call. That number is 347-989-0095. And also, if you want to text me a question or a prayer request, I would love to answer. And you know what? I've got a friend. Her name is Pat, and she's got a brother, Brian. And I want to pray for Brian tonight because Brian wound up in a hospital. He's sick. He's not doing too well. He's a father with children, and my friend Pat is very concerned, as I am. So I just want to say a prayer of healing tonight. I'm going to bow my head. And dear Lord, I pray for my sister Pat. Her brother Brian is in the hospital, and he's struggling with his health. And Lord, I just pray that your healing hands would be upon him, that all those that love him would support him at this time, care for him, encourage him, and Lord, that you would just continue to keep your healing hands upon him, love him, and just bring people into his life that would encourage him and let him know that you love him, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Okay, we've got about a little over five minutes left in the show. So I'm going to say a closing prayer, and then I'll have my closing song. Dear Lord, thank you for tonight's show. My prayer is tonight, Lord, that you would touch hearts, give people a desire to know you, give them a heart that wants to read your word, to open the Bible, open God's holy scriptures, and I pray that the words would just penetrate their hearts, just like a two-edged sword, and it would cut to the chase. It would just open them up to your word, and that they would come to know you and would want to follow you, and that they would learn to love your word and to hunger for it, and to just let it feed their souls, let it feed them and empower them, let the Holy Spirit empower them and fill them, and let them just live life. Lives that would just be pleasing to you, and lives that would be a witness to others, and that they would be bold as they share the gospel. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I just like to say, may the Lord bless you all, that the Lord keep you, and that the Lord just lead you and touch you in mighty ways, as I truly believe that we are coming closer to His return. And so I'll just close with this song, He Reigns. Good night, everybody.
Children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. He reigns.
All God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder come.
that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, faithful in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling.
There've been times I felt so all alone.